Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes.com talk show program. I am the founder and host. This is the first audio program we have done on our Blog Talk Radio station in a number of years because we've been doing almost all videos. And the gentleman I'm going to be talking with here, I wish I could be there with him at Schofield Barracks, but it costs money to travel, and I wasn't able to do that. But there's always Blog Talk Radio, and that's what we're going to do tonight because he's got some amazing things to share with us. And so we're going to be talking. First of all, thank you for Ramey, for setting this up, for calling me. I think it was like over 2 years ago that I did a whole series of programs with Schofield Barracks soldiers, including while they were out on training missions in the Pacific. And so I'm really excited about this. And we're going to be talking with Sergeant First Class Juan F. Amant Danye. He is a Sexual Assault Response Coordinator, United States Army Health Clinic at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii. Welcome, Sergeant First Class, to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's an honor to meet you this way. Thank you for your service to our country. Now, you are also, you're a civilian right now working on base, but you are also a U.S. Army reservist, and you've had a couple deployments. So why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're from, and talk a little bit about your service in the reserves.
Sure. So I'm originally from the Dominican Republic. That's why I have the two interesting last name combinations. I used to live in New York City before I joined the Army. I was actually active duty for about 15 years. Throughout my active duty time, I did a year in Korea. I did a year tour in Korea. I also deployed to Kuwait for a year, and I did a tour in Iraq during OIF 9/11. And that last tour happened while I was stationed here at Schofield Barracks with the 25th Infantry Division. So after a few years serving in the division, I got married to a local Hawaiian girl and made a transition from active duty to reserves. So I've been in the reserves now for almost 3 years, and I'm kind of dual-hatted in what I do. I work as a sexual assault response coordinator here as a civilian. And then I also work with the same program at the reserve. So I get to see both sides of the spectrum on that.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing all that. So you had like about 17 years total of service, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay, great. So, but now, in addition to you being a reservist, you are as a civilian. So talk a little bit about what you're doing. Because I'll just say, on all my trips to Iraq, Afghanistan, I heard so many times about the issue of sexual assault, sexual harassment, and I know the military is doing a lot to try to stop that. So talk about what you do.
So as my role as a sexual assault response coordinator, I'm basically one of the first lines of defense in order to provide assistance for victims of sexual harassment or sexual assault. In that sense, you know, someone would come to my office and ask, you know, report a case or talk about a certain issue they're having with sexual harassment, and then we go through their options as to how we can resolve the situation, or in a case of a sexual assault, actually report the crime. Before we even get to that level, my number one mission is prevention, you know, and being that advisor to the commander here, making sure that I do training for all our DA civilians and soldiers assigned to the Schofield Barracks Health Clinic, so that they make sure they understand what the policy is and how important prevention of sexual harassment and sexual assault is.
Okay, and do you do these like in like a classroom setting, or do you go out to the barracks, or how does that work?
Yes, so I have a certain classroom that we have up here set up, and I do those. I run training sessions every 2 weeks. You know, us being a hospital, we have different shifts and different tasking. So I get folks in sometimes groups of five, sometimes we get 10 or 15 soldiers and civilians mixed, and then we start talking. You know, I break the information down as much as I can so we can have human conversations about sexual harassment and sexual assault. It's not just about a PowerPoint or talking in a soldier sense. I want people to be able to communicate and understand that even though some of us are civilians and some of us are active duty soldiers, we're still fighting the fight against the same enemy, which is sexual harassment and sexual assault.
Exactly. And then this month had been declared Sexual Assault Prevention Month for our veterans, right?
Correct.
Okay. And talk about the SHARP program. Talk about the SHARP program.
Sure. So SHARP stands for Sexual Harassment, Assault, and Response and Prevention. So, you know, the SHARP program has been around for a number of years, almost 10 years now, and it's come about because of a big focus on preventing sexual harassment and sexual assault. You know, I remember when I was a young soldier back in the early 2000s. You know, we used to have a prevention of harassment training like once every 6 months, but the conversations about harassment or assault were not really being had. You know, and because of more recent cases that we've had, even like the film Invisible War and the uprising and people being recognizing there's a problem in the military with sexual assault, that's where the SHARP program really took a big hold in understanding that we need to be strong in order to provide assistance to our soldiers that are going through a lot of issues that are not being spoken of, you know, dealing with sexual assault specifically.
Absolutely. Now, you are also founder and program manager for a program called Standing Tall, a men's mentorship program. Talk about that.
Yes. So Standing Tall, a men's mentorship, came from an idea that I observed during training with an organization that talked about the man box, you know, and what society sees as the role of a man in society. And some of the things that are in that box are issues talking about how, you know, men don't cry or men have to be tough. Men are supposed to treat women like objects. Men are not supposed to show emotion and so on and so forth. So, you know, in understanding that, you know, I'm a man that through my years I've been able to be more in tone with the issues that I've gone through, even as a soldier. You know, I've dealt with death in the military before, and I had issues channeling that anger. So when I started applying that to the SHARP program, you know, being here in Hawaii it's beautiful, but young soldiers are away from their families in the mainland. And when they're having a tough day at work, you know, all they want to do sometimes is either go out and party or drink in the barracks. They get together with other soldiers that are doing negative things, and unfortunately, either assaults happen or soldiers get DUIs and such. So we thought about bringing this program, Standing Tall, to allow soldiers to make better relationships with other soldiers. And this is a men's mentorship group, so allowing other men to connect and realize that, you know what, there's better things outside of just drinking in the barracks or trying to go to a club and try to pick up a girl or something like that. You know, let's focus on career, let's focus on our finances, let's focus on our military or civilian education. So that's the reason why I came up with the program.
Great. What are some events taking place this month in April at Schofield Barracks?
So there's a lot of events. April is like the busiest month of the year for me. So far in Schofield Barracks and within our clinic, we've had so the 25th Infantry Division hosted a Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month run where the entire USORHA or 25th ID ran, did a memorial run to commemorate the month. Here locally, we did a proclamation ceremony in our AO, where we had a victim of sexual assault give some comments and speaking about trust. So this year's theme is shaping a culture of trust. So she spoke about trust. My clinic also did a Take Back the Night 5K Glow Run. So Take Back the Night goes back to talking about the issues of sexual assault that have happened in our neighborhoods at night, you know, crime in general, whether domestic violence or sexual assault. So what we did with this Glow Run is we invited soldiers, members of our clinic, and their family members to get together and take back the night. So we issued out glow gear. We did a candlelight vigil in remembrance of victims of sexual assault. And then we ran through Wheeler Army Airfield. And we had about 250 plus soldiers, DA civilians, family members, and even members of the community run with us. So it was a lot of fun. We have two more events coming up. One is Denim Day, which is on the 25th of April, and talks about the case that happened in Italy back in 1999, where a court reversed a judgment against somebody that assaulted a young girl. The court said that because her jeans were really tight, there's no way that that person could have assaulted her. She must have assisted. So Denim Day is to remind people not to be judgmental and to understand that there's no excuse for sexual assault. And the very last event we have coming up is a big event. It's called the Festival of Healing. And it's there to embrace healing in many different ways. You know, it's, of course, put on by us in the SHARP program. But we are creating this environment where people can seek help, whether dealing with behavioral health issues, emotional issues, physical problems, or faith-based assistance that they'll need. So I'm bringing in members of the community, behavioral health from outside. We're bringing Honolulu Police Department is going to be here. We're bringing the USO is going to be here, MWR, military CID is going to be here, the MPs, EEO. So basically, I'm bringing all those resources to my clinic so that people can see that help is out there and that we can all heal together, and here are the resources.
Wow, that is great. You're doing a great job there. So I'm curious, what does the Army look for in, well, it's abbreviated SARC, but a sexual assault response coordinator?
Yes.
What does the Army look for in person?
Well, definitely they go through a extraneous background check, making sure that there's a certain offenses that you can't have in your record in order for you to be in the program. So making sure there's no issues of assault, whether sexual or not. There's no history of domestic violence. Making sure that you haven't committed any felonies. And several other checks. We also get cross-reference on the National Sex Offender Registry to make sure that we meet those and that we have a positive background check as we move forward. So that's just the technical checks that we go through. But also, you know, you have to interview with your company, battalion, and brigade commander individually, and they'll ask you certain questions to check on your character, see if you would be a good attribute to the program.
Okay. What is the process? Like, say somebody reports a sexual harassment or assault response. What is the process on an incident like that, and how are you involved?
Sure. We'll talk. Well, for soldiers, for example, with cases of sexual harassment, we give them certain tips on how to be able to resolve. One of the first things, we have five different approaches. Direct approach, where you actually confront the person that said something of a sexual nature. We have an indirect approach, where you either send them an email or send them a message explaining what issues you have with them. There's a third-party approach where you can bring somebody in, and then that's usually when me as a SHARP rep is brought in to try to mediate or explain to the person that offended them what they have done incorrectly, why the situation was brought up. We also have involving the chain of command, which is the fourth step. You know, I'm blessed to have an organization here that not stand for harassment or assault, or they actually get to file a formal complaint. In that case, they process that paperwork with me. So we're trying to, you know, handle things at the lowest level. Some soldiers think, you know, if I go to SHARP, I'm automatically part of an investigation. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, there's ways that we can work out so soldier feels the least amount of stress and be able to handle things at the lowest level. You know, as far as reporting a sexual assault, somebody would actually come to me directly or one of my victim advocates and make a report if they want to do a restricted report. But they can also do an unrestricted report. They can call the MPs, call CID or local police, and they would get in contact with us so we can assist. Because once the crime with sexual assault, for example, is reported, we, as a SHARP program, we ensure that that person has medical coverage. You know, if something happened to them medically, we make sure that they get a medical attention that they need or behavioral health. And then we also become kind of like their battle buddy throughout the journey, you know, assessing them, make sure they're doing okay, and coordinating any further assistance they would need throughout their process.
Absolutely. So what do you hope, Juan, that the impact of the Sexual Assault Awareness Month will have on the soldiers and their families?
Well, I want them to know that it's a month. I want this to be a month that makes them realize that there's a problem and makes them realize that there is a solution to it, and that it's not just up to myself being head of the program, but it's up to everybody in the community. It's up to our soldiers, it's up to DA civilians and everybody out there. You know, I want my fellow veterans out there to know that they can also get assistance. You know, the VA provides counseling services for military sexual trauma. And I work with the VA, too, to try to get some of our veterans some assistance. So I want people to know that, you know, there's a problem, but we're together as a community, we're trying to make a difference in trying to eradicate it as soon as we can.
Okay. So now earlier we started, you talked about how you were in the Army, active duty 15 years, 2 years Army Reserves, but also as a civilian, a DOD civilian. How do you balance both roles?
It's interesting. Sometimes so Ramey, he's also a reservist, and a couple of the folks in my organization, they're also reservists. So it's funny when I see them in uniform and not. So sometimes I forget to salute or not salute, so that's funny. The fact that I'm working, I'm a reservist and I'm a soldier and I'm working in an Army organization, it flows really well. You know, I feel at home with the soldiers here. I feel that we can have honest conversations, and I can lean back on the fact that I have military experience to be able to give soldiers some advice that they can see, well, you know, this is somebody that's been through what I've been through. This is somebody that's been a private before and has questions. So I love working for the Army. I'm so glad that this opportunity was presented to me. So it works well, you know, it works well for me. One of the great things,
that's
too, that
good.
Helps out is that all the training that I get as a civilian, I can bring to my reserve unit. So I can, anytime I teach SHARP in my reserve unit, I get the latest and the greatest information because of my access to it as a civilian.
Yeah, that is good. So what would you share with like a junior NCO who has interest in supporting the SHARP program as a victim advocate or an SARC?
I say that a junior, young sergeant, young staff sergeant that wants to participate, I tell them that they're the first line of defense. You know, most soldiers are looking to them for guidance. So having being able to support the program would be a great thing. You know, I always tell them, you know, when I mentor, when I do my SME panels, I tell those young NCOs that, you know, taking care of victims of sexual assault is like taking care of soldiers. You know, if you're a good NCO, you're there to take care of your soldiers' needs. You know, being part of the SHARP program, you just got a little bit more in your tool bag to be able to help out. So if you have that good foundation of taking care of soldiers and standing for what's right, then these programs are what's right for them.
So what can the Army one and the Department of Defense do better in regards to sexual assault and harassment prevention?
You know, I think that, you know, and I've seen it throughout the years being in this role, in a few years, I've seen a lot of changes happening, you know, and I'm very excited about what we've done. If anything, I would suggest that we continue on reaching out to the community, to the civilian community. You know, we talk about sexual harassment here and sexual assault on a regular basis. As soon as you go off post, it's not happening, you know. It's not happening on social media. I mean, during SAPM, DOD is doing a lot more to promote sexual assault awareness. But the civilian community at large is not doing that. So maybe having some Army initiatives where we can reach out to the community and say, you know what, we're the military, we're protecting You know, we're helping to protect our country. Let's all protect our country from a domestic problem, which is sexual harassment, sexual assault.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier about the Festival of Healing on April 26th. Is there anything you want to add about that, or what people can expect?
It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we have the Air Force band from Pearl Harbor, Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam is going to be out here. The Army band is going to be out here. We're going to have music. We're going to have dancing. It's going to be it's all about healing. It's going to be a good time. It's not going to be death by PowerPoint. It's going to be a place for people to gather, to have that conversation, to be relaxed, and to understand that, you know what, I can heal. No matter what I'm dealing with, there's people out there that care about us, and let's just have a good time. So it's going to be I'm very excited about it. A lot of folks are coming together to make this happen, so it's going to be great.
Well, you have clearly made a big difference over the years, Juan, because I'm looking here. You've been recognized by the Council of the City, County of Honolulu, and all kinds of awards you've received. I mean, you're truly making a difference.
Thank you, sir. I'm just trying to be a good soldier and trying to help folks out, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. Is there anything that you would like to add before we just about close the program?
Sure. Two things. So you mentioned the Festival of Healing. So if you look at our United States Army Health Clinic Schofield Barracks, the event is actually going to be posted on our Facebook page. So anybody that needs information, they can go ahead and follow up on that. The last thing I leave you with is I want to give a shout out to all my battle buddies out there in the foxhole. Some of my old soldiers they're in Korea, they're in Iraq, they're in Afghanistan, they're in Kuwait. So I'm always thinking of all my veterans out there downrange, and tell them that we're praying for them, and we can't wait for them to come back and unite with their families.
Absolutely. Now, you said you have a Facebook page. How will people find it?
It's U.S. Army Health Clinic, Schofield Barracks.
U.S. Army Health
Clinic, Clinic, Schofield Barracks. Yep.
Okay, just put that in and it'll pop up. Good. I'm going to do that as soon as we get finished.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, thank you again for your service. Thank you for your time being on the program tonight. And I hope that what you shared here will help many people across the country, or actually in other countries too, where our soldiers are based. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to possibly talking to you again, maybe after your event.
Sure, and thank you for your great program. You provide a great service to our veterans. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, it's an honor to still be able to do it. I'm glad I can still do it, actually. So, well, thank you very much, sir. And folks, before we close, I also want to give a shout-out to our troops, to our veterans, to all of our military families, first responders. Thank you, all of you, for your service to our country. And to those who are possibly in areas right now where you're in harm's way, be safe, stay alert. God bless you. And to everybody listening, please share this program with anybody and everybody that you think the information could be helpful to them. And when you see our post on Talking with Heroes and Talking with Heroes program on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Talk with Heroes, please share it. Put your comments about what you thought about this program. So thank you very much. Everybody, God bless you. God bless America.